Money Sense is brought to you by the Ellenbecker Investment Group, three-time recipient of the Better Business Bureau's Torch Award for Business Ethics and Integrity. The Ellenbecker Investment Group is the only Wisconsin investment company to receive this prestigious award more than once by providing exceptional planning and extraordinary service each and every day. Go to ellenbecker.com. Listen to Money Sense Saturdays at 2 p.m. and Sundays at noon.
Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group, and we're located in Pewaukee, just east of Highway 164 and Capitol Drive. We're in that great big beautiful town bank building. We're also in the village of Whitefish Bay in the Equitable Bank building, just directly across from Winkies. We also service clients in Bonita Springs, Florida. And if you'd like to know more, if you'd like to see our offices and put a face with a voice, go to ellenbecker.com for more details. My guest today is Gary Ross, and Gary has been on Money Sense several times. The last time was about a year and a half ago, when we were kind of right in the midst of our pandemic and trying to think about, you know, what does business look for most people? And of course, one of the things, and just to mention that Gary does, is he's a business coach. He's an author. He did the book called The Growth Cube, which is unlocking the growth potential of your company. He also does small business coaching, startup coaching, career coaching. And, you know, Gary, this has been a time where we're now sort of, we slid in and out of the pandemic, I guess, a little bit. And during that time, people were trying to reinvent their companies on some levels, trying to figure out employees. And it's just been busy. And now everybody's trying to just get up and running. And you talk a lot about strategic planning. And if we could just spend a few minutes on why strategic planning is so important and how someone can pause long enough in this crazy world that we're in to even recognize that it's important to look at the planning, even when you're just trying to keep day-to-day business going. And I know a lot of employees, and I think of my own employees, you know, we're sometimes under the gun and just trying to keep day-to-day business up and running.
Right, right. Well, it's a pleasure to be on here again, Karen, and I love you and love your business. So it's a pleasure to work with you once again.
Thank you.
And in regard to the strategic planning, you know, there's a lot of things that go into a strategic plan. They do take a lot of time. I think there's ways you can streamline things and get to the root of where you want to go. I use the process in strategic planning. It's very simple. It's called the point A to point B process. Point A is where are we now? Point B is where are we going? And then in the middle of that is the execution plan. What are you going to do to execute to get there? And you can lay that out in one page.
Wow, that seems simple. It can't be quite that simple. We'd all be doing it.
That is the challenge.
Yeah.
And one of the things I see too, a lot of times the CEO will say to the head of sales and marketing, hey, give me your marketing plan or give me your sales plan. And they don't even have a strategy for the company. And that's not really fair to ask your sales and marketing leader for a plan if the company has not even defined their strategy, even, you know, very simply.
Well, I know you've said in the past when we've talked that company strategy literally drives everything.
And that is correct.
And the strategy, where does it come from? The top down? I know when we have done our strategic planning, we try to pull our company in and effectively get everybody's opinion because you can see it through different eyes then.
It is an awesome team building opportunity. And most employees cringe when they hear you're going to do a strategic plan because they don't want to do it. But if you can make it fun and show them that you're listening to their feedback and take their feedback and actually do something with it, get them involved. That's where, you know, a lot of people fail because they do it top down. And then the people that are supposed to execute don't buy in.
You know, Gary, in my business, one of the things that I've learned, if I talk to my clients about budgets, I can just see the cringe, their shoulders get high. And it's like, oh my God, you know, budgeting, either I don't budget or I don't want to budget or budgets don't work. But if you talk to people about cash flow And, you know, and if you talk to them about being a business owner, and I say I'm a business owner, and, you know, so many business owners fail because of their cash flow. They really don't have a plan around it. And people automatically perk up and they're interested because they're seeing it a little bit differently. And I think the same is with strategic planning. It sounds like it's really, like you said earlier, everybody can do it, but it sounds, you know, ominous, like it's such a big job. But can you give some ideas of how people can maybe hear it differently so that they can be empowered to want to do it?
Right. I think first the CEO has to be personally involved. The CEO has to get involved in the middle of it. And, you know, be out there talking to people, be in the meetings, be active, be engaged, be enthusiastic. The CEO has to lead the charge. People have to see that they're passionate, that they love their market, that they love their customer. And that CEO needs to lead the way, especially in a small business. They got to show it. I think the events that they have, whether they're weekly meetings or, you know, we're going to bi-weekly review where we're at, whatever those meetings are, make them a team building activity. By team building, I mean, get a lot of people in the room, get people in the room that are partners, get customers in the room. You should watch how employees will perk up. I call them associates. In my book, you'll see, well, associates will perk up if there's customers in the room. Can you imagine a customer being involved in your strategic plan? We used to do that. You know, we put our customers right in there with us. And that makes people kind of pay attention. The customer gets a voice at the table. And that's another way to, you know, get people engaged. So if you get involved with people early on and make them part of it, then you're going to get the execution. And that's usually where it fails. People do a strategic plan. It does not get executed. And that's because people just don't understand it. They have not been involved and they don't buy in.
You know, many years ago, I read a book and it was called The Last Word on Power. And it really talked about that. It said that if you say things that you're going to do and you don't do them, you lose everybody. I mean, nobody wants to follow you because it's really, you're asking people to follow you and to make these changes or to adopt something new. And if you don't make it happen, if you don't strategically make it happen, people kind of get, you know, bored with the idea that, oh yeah, here it comes again.
You have to put together, as you said, with that, a financial plan. You know, you can also get people all excited, but if you don't put the investment behind those new ideas, because there's going to be new ideas, you don't put the investment behind it, people say, well, you know, why am I putting more work on myself if you're not going to invest and put more resources in to go after these new ideas? So the investment is key also, and the CEO has to understand it also. In other words, what am I going to invest and what kind of return am I going to get? And, you know, make that, you know, so it's justifiable.
You know, Gary, when you talk about a strategic plan and incorporating your employees, is there something that your employees need to know about you in order to feel safe and comfortable to make their opinions known? Because, you know, it's always, there's two things that happen that, boy, if I suggest that, it's going to land on my plate. And, or what if I suggest that and looks at me like I'm crazy? And I often think that when your employees really understand, well, first of all, of course, your motivation, but really understand your values, or if you have a value palette in place for them to understand where you're coming from, are there key things that are really important for them to know?
Yeah, well, I just to answer your first part of your question, you have to give them an opportunity to talk with you confidentially. Well, I like to do an annual survey of new ideas. So you send a survey out to all the associates. And here's something I like to ask in this annual survey. This is part of the planning effort for the strategic plan as you're trying to get input. And one of the ways you can do that is not only meetings, but a survey to your associates. And here's a real easy question. What activity are we doing that you've heard of start, stop, continue? What activity or business unit or product offering should we start? Which one are we doing now that we should stop? And which one do you like that we should continue? And you'd be surprised at some of the confidential answers you get. We've had people tell us to shut down business units because they were losing money. You know, so, you know, people will tell you if you ask them. You got to be open to it.
Well, and you have to be open to it. You have to be able to hear it. And, you know, there's always that thing when you get feedback like that, trying to determine what to do with it.
Yeah.
You know, do you turn, do you close down a division? And, you know, but at least you can look at it with different eyes.
Yeah. Many times they tell you the things you already know, but you know, people are smart. You know, they know what's going on. And they tell you things that you probably should be doing that you're not doing.
Gary, what do you see when you're working with people that is the thing that stops people from moving forward? And actually, even though they know that they need to do something like this, what is the thing that stops business owners from taking charge of redoing or looking at a strategic plan or even just trying to pause long enough to find out what can be done better?
I think they're just swamped. You know, they're buried, like you said at the beginning, with COVID and the lack of resources. People, you know, aren't as available. There's a lot falling on the small business CEO. There's a lot on their plate. They're kind of overwhelmed. And I've had CEOs tell me that they're afraid to bring in more business because it just the workload falls on them. You know, so these CEOs, for the most part, are very, very talented. I deal in technology and with technology companies and service companies that have a technology component. Most of my CEOs are technical, technology, or have a strength in that area. And so they get dragged into all of that. You know, it could be software development or technical support. They get dragged into that. But they want to grow their companies. They want to do the strategic plan. They want to find new products. You know, they want to do all this stuff. But I find that for the most part, they're just swamped and they got to figure out a way to incorporate it in. And that's what I help them do.
So when you're doing this, helping them to, you know, I'm trying to think of what Julie always says, get rid of the fluff in some cases, you know, I got to get rid of the fluff so that I can actually do what I do best. And I think one of the things that both Julie and I have learned is that we have to find out what are our best skills and then stay in our own lane. Because you're right, it's so easy to keep going into the other lanes. And I think often that's because maybe you don't have the full confidence that somebody's doing what you hope they're doing. And then all of a sudden it comes back and you got to fix things.
Yeah. I mean, get some feedback from your customers. It can really inspire you, you know, to make a change. Just a simple survey monkey to your customers, asking them, you know, five or so questions, and you start getting feedback and your customers will give you some good ideas. And I find it inspires the CEO to get outside feedback because many times they're just buried into the details.
Well, I'm thinking, why don't we take a quick break? And when we come back, can you walk us through some how you would work with a company for those people who are sitting listening to the radio today and they're saying, man, he's talking about me, but how would I even get started? First of all, it's pick up the phone. That's always the first step and make the connection. But how does someone, first of all, identify and what is the process? And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I am the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. My guest today is Gary Ross. He is a business coach. He's also an author of The Growth Cube, which is great. You can get it on Amazon, and it's really unlocking the growth potential of your company. And we've really been talking about that. And over the break, I was telling Gary that I can remember over the years that, you know, things got so overwhelming. And I can think of, you know, when you're going through a bear market or if we're going through some, you know, really volatile times, all you do is you can focus on that and you're trying to do everything that you possibly can. And sometimes you get down and you have to motivate yourself. And so for those, you know, business owners, people who are starting a business, looking at getting off on the right start, how do you work with them and how do you help them to get their feet firmly planted on the ground, have a good idea of what they want to do? But sometimes it's often even for that business owner to know how to interact with their employees and how to get their employees motivated as well. It doesn't mean you're a good speaker just because you're a good business owner.
Right, right. And you know, we talked in the first segment about a strategic plan. That is the place to start. It's just how you get it done. that we're really talking about here, and how it doesn't have to be elaborate. You know, it can start simple. But, you know, whether you're starting up a company, you have an established one, does make a big difference. You know, for startups, the approach is going to be different than for an established business.
Well, what does it look like, though, Gary? If somebody is thinking, this guy's talking my language, he knows I'm out there, he's talking to me. What does it look like?
Yeah, well, in terms of the economy and how things are impacting people, I do have, you know, some CEOs that are my clients that have said, hey, Gary, this is going, you know, this is not looking good. And, you know, what should I do? So my advice, and many of my CEOs are not saying that, but some are, and they're concerned, you know. So my advice is, number one, you know your business. By know your business, I look at maybe five different things. One is, look at your sales pipeline. How is your sales pipeline? Is it full? Do you have the same sales opportunities that you had before? Look at your, number two, look at your scorecards, your KPIs, your key performance indicators. Make sure you have visibility to things like leads. Are leads being generated at the rate they were 3 months ago? Keep an eye on that. Make sure the leads are coming in. You still have that solid pipeline. And third, look at the proposals. Are you putting proposals out there at the same rate? You know, are you seeing any of those things changing over the next few months? You know, just keep that flowing and keep your focus on that. Number four would be, look at the backlog. By backlog, I mean orders that you've closed that have not delivered yet. So you may not have the cash yet, but you sold the opportunity. So those jobs in the backlog should represent 3 months of your revenue. So that in most businesses I deal with, that is a good backlog. And last I would say is, can you deliver on the projects? Because you have to be able to deliver. Make sure you have the technical resources. And if you have a resource issue finding people, you don't want to get to a point where you can't deliver on the project. So those are the things I'm advising my CEOs to focus on.
You know, Gary, just recently my daughter and I were looking at purchasing something and have purchased it, and it's really backlogged. And we've stopped in and talked to the salespeople that are there. And we've been able to notice over the last year how, I want to say, as customers, how we're being treated. In the very beginning, you know, it was, oh, we're really happy, it's backlogged and, you know, should be here and we're hoping for it. And as time has gone on and as things have become very difficult, you almost feel like you call them and you can hear, oh my God, you know, the way that they're dealing with their clients, I think, has deteriorated. But we look at it as, because it's just been so difficult. And I think that's another thing for people to look at is, what are your customers? How do they see you? You know, how are they experiencing you through these difficult times, and being able to keep the right people in front of them so that they don't feel that?
Well, that's a great point. And that's one of the things that I look at when we put together a strategic plan. I say, you know, what's your thought leadership area? What's your area of expertise? And people say, well, what does that mean? Well, why do your customers love you? Just tell me why your customers love you. Typically, that is what makes your company great. You know, it could be something technical. It could be a part of your team. It could be part of your service offering, maybe a part of your website. What is that thing that the customers love about you most? That's what you got to focus on.
Sometimes, as a business owner, you just can become so overwhelmed that you don't really even know what's up or what's down. And for someone who's in that place right now, what is the first steps that they should take to alleviate some of the stress and some of the tension so that they can get a better foothold on moving forward?
I really think involving a coach can help you through that, because you'll never stop. You just keep on doing the things you've been doing. And what someone like me will bring is someone with new ideas, someone that's going to stretch you to think about these questions that we're talking about and hold you accountable. Most of my customers say, Gary, you hold me accountable. We say we're going to do something, and I look down the road 3 months later and we did them. You know, so it's coming up with those ideas, but it's also helping your client, because they don't have that a lot of time, but you can help them execute and deliver on that idea. And now they're going to feel great. Like, all right, we were able to accomplish something. The biggest thing coaches do, I think, that are in error, that, believe me, I've learned a lot myself. I've been coaching since 2014, and I've made mistakes myself because I'm an operational guy. I've run companies. I started to get into coaching. It's a little bit different. And one thing I learned is that you can overwhelm your client if you come up with too many ideas. So you really got to take, you know, one or two ideas, work on those, get those implemented, and then work on one or two more. Because if you overwhelm the CEO, they won't get anything done.
Well, you know, they say, and I've heard, that it's lonely at the top and when you're a business owner. And I do think that that's true. And yeah. I've been very blessed to be able to bounce ideas off of my daughter, Julie, who is the president of Ellen Becker Investment Group. But that's not always the case, that you've got someone to bounce things off of. And if you're only looking at it through your lens, you don't see any other possibilities. And I think a coach brings a whole new vision. And yeah. Sometimes they can open up your eyes to see things that you really don't see anymore. Because, you know, for me, when I passed the baton to my daughter, I remember thinking, oh my God, you know, nobody wants anyone to change their baby's clothes. know, that's my baby. And I think that, first of all, we all have to have these strategic plans in place. We all have to be able to identify what's important, because as we've learned through this pandemic, we don't know, you know, if we're going to get sick. We don't know what's going to happen. And if our strategic plan isn't solid, and if we don't have a succession plan in place, I mean, you could be doing great harm to something that you've worked your whole life to build, and something that is so meaningful, particularly if your goal is to pass it down to another generation.
Yeah. Well, I've most of my clients are under $1 million in revenue. A lot of them are startups. They don't even have revenue. But one of my clients has grown to $6 million in annual revenue. From when I started, they were around $2 million. And that was just, you know, 4 years ago. So that's great growth. And we just did a whole succession plan for their company. They've got a lot of people now. So they just did succession planning in their company, you know, to make sure that they, you know, were training people, getting them ready for that next step. So that's important. One of the things, a real example of what some of the strategy ideas that are important to implement in a downturn are reoccurring revenue streams. And most people know what those are. They might be called subscription streams, but that's a monthly fee typically, or an annual fee, that your customer's paying for a service. It could be software as a service, or SaaS. But these recurring streams are streams that keep you going through a downturn, because you could lose one-off business. But if you have recurring services and recurring revenue, you can ride it through a downturn. That's a strategic plan decision right there. Are we going to develop recurring revenue streams, and how are we going to do it? Well, now, if you would have done that last year, this would be helping you right now in a downturn.
Sounds interesting. And I know that when one of the things that we've discovered about some of our strategic planning is the more that we can communicate with our employees and the more that they feel part ownership in these plans, the better they unfold.
Yes. And the better they get to know the CEO. I mean, it's right. Great when a CEO, you know, lays themselves out there, puts their personal feelings out there on the table about what they're struggling with, what they're excited about. It brings them closer together. Employees will love that.
But you know, Gary, I think so many people, and probably me included many times, instead of looking at being vulnerable as a strength, so many people look at vulnerability as being a weakness.
That's true. But really, people want to see your heart. They want to see you care. They want to see the passion. That's what they want to see. And so just lay it out there, man. Don't be afraid.
Yeah. My guest today is Gary Ross. He is a business coach. He also does startup coaching, career coaching. He's written a great book called The Growth Cube, and you can get that on Amazon. And we're going to take a break, and we will be right back. Thank you. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. And as I said before, I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And one of the things that's been really great for almost 30, more than 30 plus years, I've been able to do Money Sense and to be able to interview really people who have become strategic partners with me. It's given me an opportunity to learn from so many people, things that I can implement into my life, into my business. And one of the people that I've talked many times to is my guest today, Gary Ross, and he is a business coach. He's also an author. He works with startups, and we're going to talk in our fourth segment about startups and career coaching. But I think it's been a really important topic that we've been talking about, strategic planning. And I know one of the things that can be very difficult is, you know, often we say we know our body and we think, you know, I really should go to the doctor. I've got this ache or I haven't been feeling really great, but it goes on and on and on. And then all of a sudden you get really sick and you got to go to the doctor and you don't even know what's really wrong. You just feel crummy. And I think people sometimes wait too long, Gary, to address things that might not be working. And sometimes a strategic plan for people can feel like a really bad organized closet. And they look at it and they think, oh my God, I got to take everything out just to put it back. And, you know, but really when you do that, you throw some things out that aren't any good anymore. You might need to add something. You do some organizing. Boy, every time you walk by that closet now, you think, you know, I've done something. And I think, you know, for business, it can be like that too. But how does someone get started, Gary? How do they take that first step beyond they call you and, you know, they might have a really big problem or maybe they're just curious as to if they're on the right track?
Yeah. You know, remember I used to run companies and I got into coaching. And, you know, so one of the things that really differentiates me is I have walked in their shoes. I know the ups and downs of being a CEO and what they're focused on. So I can really relate to them and have a sensitivity to a CEO. So that's one of the strengths I have. And it really is an art and a science working as a coach. I'm a business coach. You know, I don't do life coaching, although sometimes it gets like that. But my real focus is on the business. How are we going to grow it? And if the CEO is comfortable with where they're at and they've got a nice cash flow and they don't want to take any risks, they're probably not going to hire me. I'm more of a, hey, let's figure out how to really get this thing going. And the CEO is not satisfied where they're at, or maybe they're declining. But sometimes they're just not satisfied. They want to be great. They want to be the best. And when they have that desire, that's where I can really come in and help them.
So what happens? They pick up the phone, they call you, they say, Gary, you know, I heard you on the radio or my buddy has used you and you've really helped his company.
Yeah.
Where does that begin? Do you talk with me? Do you talk to my employees? How does that look? What does it look like?
I only coach CEOs. I don't, you know, in terms of my business coaching, I only work with the CEO.
Okay.
Sometimes they involve their staff and sometimes I talk with their staff. But my focus is on the CEO. So I'm going to work with them. Sometimes we'll get the team involved. Sometimes I'll work with their team. But I do a 20-minute meeting, no charge. We do a 20-minute meeting. They like that it's 20. I like that it's 20. And then if we like that, my first meeting is $190 for 90 minutes. Most people can afford that. So 90-minute meeting. We come out of that meeting with some ideas, some actions. I give them an action report. So that's how we get started. I get going. And I'm doing that from just that little exposure, just using my experience and my questioning and listening skills to come up with a quick action report to come out of the gates for $190. Most people will do that. So what do we do then after that? Each week on Sunday at 5 o'clock, I send out an action report. Why 5 o'clock on Sunday? Because I think that's when CEOs start to think about the next week. What am I going to do? What are my priorities? I give them what I think are priorities. I say theirs and mine because I'm not dumping it on them. I look at it as we're working on this together. You know, so here's our priorities for the coming week and try to put at the beginning of that report a very short summary. And if they want to go to the detail, that's at the end of the report. So that action report comes every Sunday. We always meet. I think there should be a meeting, me and them, one-on-one, every week or two, or at least once a month. I think that's really important that they dedicate that time. And many CEOs tell me, Gary, when I meet with you, that's the only time I'm thinking about strategy. Okay, great, because they weren't doing it at all before me. So at least we've got that going. I'm available 24/7 by text or by phone. CEOs call me on the weekend. They'll text me when they're down in the dumps about something. They text me when they win deals. I love when they do that. Hey, Gary, just won a deal. I get just as excited as them. I'll introduce them to my network. So once I know what they're going for in terms of their market, I will bring them into my network, introduce them to people, set up meetings with people that I know. So those are some of the things that I do to try to really get the energy and momentum going.
And Gary, if they want to reach you, it is the phone number is 614-578-3668. Or they can go and email you at gary@inspireourselftoday.com.
Inspire yourself today.
Yes. And that sounds like that's really the very first step in trying to determine if it's a good fit. And I know just you can usually tell by just with talking with someone, if it's especially you get one or two meetings, if this has really got the synergy that you need to just, you know, almost like re-energize yourself. Because yeah. it does get hard. And, you know, you think, you know, maybe it's instead of going to get a cup of coffee, you go get Gary.
That is true. I try to bring positivity in everything I do.
I know you do. And sometimes you can just, all you need is that little bit of inspiration, because it can be a tough world out there at the top.
And I understand too. I can relate to that. And yeah, my whole life I try to bring positive energy.
Well, you know, we look at the world as it is today, and there's so much negativity. And I think business has become really hard. And I think profitability has become very hard. And salaries are going up. Inflation is going up. There's so many things that, you know, and I think I love my employees. I think of them as a family. And it's really hard when you're at that top and you care that way about your employees to think that things aren't working or they're not motivated. And they all got things going on in their houses. They've all got things going on in their families and their kids. And, you know, it's hard. It's hard to find that community feeling and inspire your employees so that, you know, you figure they're at my office longer than they're at home every single day.
Well, and people are difficult to find now because of the shortage of people. So I think three things you can do in terms of people. One is, you know, win them over with your culture. Have a great culture. You're going to separate yourself from other companies, at least a chunk of them, if you have a great culture. The other thing is be open to hybrid roles. Be open to allowing a remote work of some kind, because a lot of the population wants remote work or at least a hybrid role. And I know companies that will not allow that. And I think you're just closing out, you know, potential employees that could be great performers by not being flexible. And the third thing I would say is use part-time 1099s. Now, if you have a 1099 or a contract person, so they don't work for you full-time, and by using those part-time 1099s, you can get someone that wants to run their own little business that does have a lot of talent. And if there's a downturn, you can cut back without having to lay someone off. So, you know, it kind of helps you maintain your profitability.
I think the other thing is being open-minded and being able to move quickly with what's going on in the world. But for us, of course, it's always the market. And the market's been terrible. And we have sent out more things to our clients explaining where we're at and helping them to understand that they don't have to panic and what strategies we've put in place. But things are happening in companies all the time that cause them to worry about the competition or to worry about something. So I think being able to know your strategy and being able to share it in the way that somebody can hear it is really important, because things are going up and down all the time.
Yeah, well, the financial planning market that you're in, that's been very, very tough. I agree that. But that's been tough on everyone. It's really... You really now, you need guidance more than ever.
Yes. Well, Gary, one of the things that has happened during the pandemic, and I think it's actually really very exciting, is, well, unfortunately, a lot of businesses went out of business and they couldn't keep things going to get beyond. But it really inspired a lot of individuals to ask themselves, what can I do? And how can I create something different? And maybe they were working for a company and they had an idea they could do it different. Maybe they just had a great idea where they're looking at what's going on in the world and saying, you know, this is a place that I can bring value. But they're startup companies. And as we know, 50% of all startup companies, it might even be different than that, fail within the first year. And I believe it's 50% of startups that are left after a year fail within the next 5 years. And so startups are tough. But let's take this last segment we have to talk about some of the strategies that a startup company can look at. And with that, we'll be right back. Welcome to Money Sense. I'm Karen Ellenbecker. I'm the founder and senior wealth advisor for the Ellenbecker Investment Group. And as I said earlier, it's been such a gift that I've been able to do a radio show for these many years. I mean, it's just phenomenal, but it's given my listeners an opportunity to pick away at things that might be beneficial to them. But I don't know that you actually know that how much I learn from doing these shows and I can use in my own business or in my own personal life. My guest today is Gary Ross. He's a business coach, and we've been talking about strategic planning, how to get started. He's going to give you some more information. He's got a lot of great things on his website. And we're going to talk about startups because startups are so much fun. And they intrigue me. They intrigue me. And I think that startups are really bring the value to our state, to our country. It's a lot of times we think of it as the ma's and pa's, but you know, every large company really did start out as a small company at one point. And I remember when I started my company, it was sort of the doomsday. Oh, 50% fail in the first year, 50% of those in the 5 years. And you know, when you make it to five and then you make it to 10, and I can remember feeling, boy, I'm there, you know, I'm doing good. And now, of course, we're into our 26th year, which almost seems impossible. But how does someone get from that first opening that door, putting that first dollar on the wall, to being out there 25 or 26 years and growing?
Well, we should ask you that question because you did it. And my numbers I've seen is 5% of companies survive. 5% wow. Actually make it out after all the years you're talking about. So you're in an elite group there. It's a lot easier to start up something new if you already have a company. You know, you got resources there to get it going. If you're starting up by yourself and it's just you, that's more difficult. You know, so I've got a lot of experience with this, with startups over my career. And I started up my own companies. I work with startup CEOs now to get themselves off the ground. I focus on technology companies and service companies. So that's a challenge, but everyone always is excited at the beginning. You know, there's an initial wave of enthusiasm, but I don't know if you know, this typical startup curve is you have that enthusiasm at the beginning, and then you go through what's called the trough of sorrow, and that trough down at the bottom where you're not making money. And you're spending a lot of time. You just can't find the right customer fit. You can't find the right product. And once you get that, you know, you come out the other side and you're starting to scale your business. But that's the typical startup curve. And most people die in the trough of sorrow.
Yeah. Well, it is hard. There's no doubt about it. And it's really, for me, and you know, Gary, it's a crazy thing because I did not start my company with the idea that I wanted to make a lot of money. I really didn't. I started my company with the idea that I wanted to bring better services to my clients because I believed that the commission-based business was not fair. And, you know, and it was always stockbrokers make a lot of money, but do their clients? That was kind of the word out there that people would always say to you. And then I recognized that the people that were working with me, they weren't happy. I mean, you know, the brokers were kind of the elite group, and then there was the worker bees. And I wanted to be able to train my sales assistant at that time, and I was told that I couldn't. So it ended up that I ended up paying my sales assistant her half of her salary in order to bring her up to speed so that she could talk to my clients effectively. And then, you know, the other thing was I wanted to change the perception of the industry. So those were the three things that I started with my company. And I just never lost sight of that. And the money came, that wasn't my focus. My focus was something bigger. Is that true of most entrepreneurs that, you know, that are really trying to start up a business, that they have an idea that is passionate that they really want to do? Or is it more about money? Is it more about, you know, what that's going to bring to them?
Well, the hardest thing is picking the right idea. You know, and there's no formula for that. There is big companies that have made mistakes thinking they had a great idea. So it really is kind of like what I said before, kind of art and science. You know, there has to be a big enough market, but what you think may be a great idea turns out may not be. And I've seen great people, great companies fail at that. The biggest challenges that you have beyond the idea are, first of all, getting customers. When you're a service business, it's a little bit easier to get started like you had at the beginning, versus a technology company where you got to build a product, because that product typically takes investment in order to build it. Whereas if I'm an accountant and I open up a business tomorrow and I have a couple friends that can be my clients, I can get started tomorrow. Whereas if you're a software company or you're making a technical product, you need investment to get that prototype built and then test it out, pilot it, and move forward. And in a medical field, it takes even longer. Because medical has to go through certain steps and regulatory steps before it's used on the open market. So there's kind of a curve of difficulty. If you're a service business with no technology, that's a lot quicker start. But what I try to do when I work with service companies are, what can we do over time in your company to add technology? Because if you can add technology to your service business, you can make it more valuable if you ever go to sell your company. And I'm sure in your business, Karen, that you have software and systems and tools that really you've built yourself that adds value to your company.
Well, of course, you know, for us, it's confidentiality, security, safety. Sometimes I think the unfortunate side of technology is it's constantly changing. And when I started my company, we have 44 employees now. I never thought I'd have 44 computers. I mean, I barely had one. I had one computer and my mother answering the phone. So that's all. And when you talk about that sorrow trough, that was what I was. I go, oh my God, here I have my mother's answering the phone. And I have, where did the guy that did all the mailing go? And you know, the reality hit me on that small business. So I do think that we all go through that second guessing it. But we'd be lost if we didn't have startups, if we didn't have these new ideas coming to the forefront. I mean, and sometimes when we go through these really difficult times, that's the time that people really become, you know, innovative. And they really are looking for new ways to bring things to the table that people need.
That's right. And there's a lot of young people coming into the market that are going to compete with some of the legacy companies with their new ideas. And they're getting a lot of money put behind them. I don't know if I mentioned this, but one of the local schools here in Columbus, Ohio, actually got rid of their textbook in their marketing class and bought my book. So they buy books for their students every year, the Growth Cube. And I come in and talk to them. And one of the things that they love to do is a Shark Tank competition. So I'll come in and talk about my book, and we have a Shark Tank competition. And these guys are amazing, and they're high school. And they've got ideas. They're good. They're very, very talented at marketing. So these startup type of programs are all around your communities. The young people are involved, and they're in them. And they all want to start up a company.
You know, just on that note, anyone that's looking at starting up a company, In our area, we now have Marquette and UWM. I mean, they're all taking Madison, a huge interest in the entrepreneur. And you can go to BizStarts, BizStarts, and I will send that to you, Gary, as well. And it is an absolutely, it's a think tank. It's a way that young people can get involved. They do something, I think, similar to a Shark Tank, and they help people to really understand what the opportunities are. But I think most importantly, to have a business strategic plan and a business plan.
And I'm on the board of an organization called Cultivate. It's one of the suburbs of Columbus called Grove City. And we have grown this organization amazingly. There's so much interest, as you're talking about. All the communities have these accelerators or incubators. And what they're looking for is for you to create jobs. That's why the local cities are getting involved, because they know that if these companies are successful, they'll bring jobs to their area.
You know, Gary, we only have about 2 minutes left. And so what would you want to tell my audience about working with you? And I think you said it earlier, if you're stuck or if you don't really know, you know, calling you and getting that free 20 minutes and then making a determination. I know when I was younger, I thought of business coaching sort of in a way meant that I wasn't a good business owner, and it was sort of negative, but that is not at all what it is right now. It's almost like I talked to a psychologist once, and she said, I don't work with sick people. I work with well people. Sick people don't come to me. Well people come with me to stay well.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same thing with business coaching. You go there because it's hard to do it all on your own.
I encourage people, take a look at my website, inspireyourselftoday.com. Inspire yourself today, not tomorrow. Inspire yourself today. So go to my, check out my website. I've got my values out there. I'm a man of faith. I like to bring, work on the overall leadership of that company with the CEO. But check out my website. You can learn a lot about me out there. And I'd love to do a 20-minute meeting with anyone in your audience. And I appreciate the opportunity, Karen. You are a professional. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk with your clients.
Thank you. I really always enjoy having this conversation. Gary's phone number is 614-578-3668. So everyone, give Gary a call. Look at his information online. It's fabulous. My guest today is Gary Ross, and he also has a great book called The Growth Cube. And with that, I hope that I have made a difference in your personal and financial well-being. Remember, before we plan, before we advise, before we invest, we always listen. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.